This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last week we began our tafsir of the first surah to be revealed, which was Surah Al-Alaq. We said that the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq were the first five verses of the Quran to be revealed. And we looked in detail at the tafsir of these five verses, that they focused on the importance of education, the importance of reading the Quran with understanding, and it gave us five reasons why we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He created us, He taught us, He gave us the means of knowledge, and He is most merciful to us. And then we went on to look at the next few verses, verses 6 to 9, which discuss Abu Jahl and his rejection of Islam. Now, today inshallah we're going to move on from verses 9 until the end of the surah inshallah. And basically the scholars of tafsir state that although the first five verses were the first verses to be revealed, the remainder of the surah was revealed much later on during the Makkan period. And the remainder of the surah, according to many of the scholars of tafsir, is referring directly to Abu Jahl. So in order to understand what the surah is talking about, we need to look at a brief biography of who was Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, which means the father of ignorance, this was the nickname which he was given by the Muslims. His name was Amr ibn Hisham, and his nickname amongst the disbelievers was Abu Hakam, the father of wisdom. Amr ibn Hisham, or Abu Hakam, was the leader of the Quraysh in terms of the spiritual leader. The actual leader was Abu Talib, but he seemed to hold a very strong position amongst the Quraysh, and he was very influential on them, because the Quraysh had this methodology of getting together and having meetings. And very often, he would come off strongest in the meetings, and people would end up following his opinion. So although Abu Talib was the official leader of the Quraysh at that time, it was Abu Jahl, or Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, also known as Abu Hakam, who was considered the wise man amongst the Quraysh, and the one who they used to go to for their solutions. Now when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to preach Islam in Makkah, Abu al-Hakam ibn Hisham became the staunchest enemy of Islam. He became the staunchest enemy of Islam, and he began to do unspeakable things. He began to torture people, murder people. He's responsible for the very first martyrdom in Islam. And that too, it was a lady, a woman, Sumayya, and her husband Ammar ibn Yasir, husband Yasir. Their son Ammar survived. So let's look at the story very briefly. What did Abu Jahl do to the family of Yasir? If you look at the story, then inshallah, we'll see a bit of an idea of the kind of individual Abu Jahl was, so that we can understand why such severe verses were revealed about him in Surah Alaq. Abu Jahl, as we call him, he was the leader of the tribe to which the family of Ammar owed their allegiance. The family of Ammar were essentially a family of freed slaves, and according to the pagan Arab customs, the freed slave was basically still a servant to the family who freed them. They owed them for life, and so they had no control over their own lives. So when Ammar ibn Yasir and his parents Yasir and Sumayya accepted Islam, they became the victims of much abuse at the hands of Abu Jahl. He would bury them in the sand until only their heads were sticking out of the sand, and leave them there in the hot desert and torture them. He would heat up blades and put it on their skin to burn their skin and to leave marks on it. He would torture them in the most unbelievable manners, with only one purpose, that they must give up the worship of Allah and go back to the worship of idols. And the family of Ammar ibn Yasir were very strong. But unfortunately, the Muslims could not assist them at that time, because the Muslims were still a minority. Amongst the Muslims, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who was going around freeing the slaves who were being tortured. Unfortunately, he could not free the family of Yasser because they were already technically free, but they belonged or they had the allegiance to Abu Jahl's family, so only somebody from the family of Abu Jahl could help them, and nobody stood up from that family to assist them and help them. And so they were tortured, and the torture reached very severe levels. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that be patient because your end will be Jannah, will be paradise. Finally, when Abu Jahl got tired of torturing them, and Sumayya especially, she was very vocal in her opposition to Abu Jahl's oppression, he took a spear and he stabbed her in a private area and killed her. And so Sumayya radiallahu anha became the first martyr in the history of Islam, and Abu Jahl became the criminal responsible for that martyrdom. Very shortly thereafter, her husband Yasser, who was a very elderly man, he also passed away due to all the damage sustained from the torture. Their son Ammar was quite traumatized by what had happened, and Abu Jahl threatened to kill him as well unless he spoke words of kufr. So Ammar ibn Yasser spoke these words of kufr to save his life. Later on, he felt very bad about it, and he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him what he had said. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Ammar, what was the condition of your heart when this happened? And Ammar replied that my heart was full of iman. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that if it had to happen again, then say it again. Meaning that it's permissible when your life is at risk. You know, anything becomes halal, almost anything becomes halal to save your life, including saying words of kufr. So this is the story of the family of Yasser. And from this story, we see what an evil man Abu Jahl was. And it was the same evil man, Abu Jahl, who also harmed Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Who was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? He was one of the first 10 people to accept Islam. He was a shepherd who came to work in Makkah and to look after the sheep of the people of Makkah. He was a very thin and skinny individual. And so Abu Jahl would bully him and mock him and make a mockery of his thin legs in front of the rest of the people of Makkah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud would go on to become one of the greatest scholars in the history of Islam. We owe a lot of our knowledge of tafsir and fiqh and hadith to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. But during the early days, he faced a lot of ridicule and hardship at the hands of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl also, on one occasion, caused a lot of harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was on this occasion that verses 6 to 19 of Surah Alaq were revealed, the verses which we are discussing at this moment. These verses were revealed at the occasion when Abu Jahl saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying near the Kaaba. And he told him, did I not prevent you from praying by the Kaaba? So he decided to try and humiliate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he took some dirt and he planned to throw it on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he wanted to step on his neck while he was in sajda. But as he got near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his face lit up with horror. And he got frightened and he ran back. When the other disbelievers asked him what had happened, he said that I saw before me a trench of fire and horror and wings. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the sahaba, if he had come near me, the angels would have torn him apart limb by limb. It was on this occasion when this evil man Abu Jahl tried to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was praying salah right by the Kaaba, that Allah revealed the remainder of Surah Alaq from verses 6 to 19. So the first 5 verses were revealed at the very first revelation in the cave of Hira. And the remainder of the surah, verses 6 to 19, were revealed in Makkah on the occasion when Abu Jahl tried to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was worshipping Allah. Abu Jahl went on to face a humiliating end at the Battle of Badr, where 2 of the youngsters from amongst the Arabs, or from amongst the Ansar, Mu'az ibn Amr and Mu'awwaz ibn Amr, had injured him. And Qadr of Allah, that Abu Jahl was killed at the Battle of Badr by none other than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the same skinny and thin shepherd who used to bully and make a mockery of his size and his legs, was the same man who defeated him in battle. And Abu Jahl died a death which in his view was a humiliating death, that he died at the hands of a shepherd, someone who he looked down upon. And this is the end of those who are arrogant. Allah will always bring down the arrogant and the evil at the hands of those who they look down upon. And Allah will elevate those who worship Him, no matter what their standing in society might be. So this is the story of Abu Jahl and the reason behind the revelation of these verses. What are the lessons that we can take from the story of Abu Lahal? One of the main lessons that we can take from the story of Abu Jahl is that there will always be, in this ummah, enemies of Islam. There will always be in the world people who hate Islam and will try to harm the Muslims. The very first individual to do this was Shaitan himself. And as long as Shaitan is in existence, there will always be those who follow him and those who do his work. So we shouldn't think that, you know, we are living a time where there's nobody who will hate us or nobody who will try to harm us. There's always going to be these sources of evil in the world. We need to be psychologically prepared to deal with any harm which comes our way. We see it with so many people throughout history. The Pharaoh and Namrud and Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and the Crusades and so many other stories where people massacred and tortured and killed people for no other reasons except that they believed in the God, believed in one God and followed the prophets. So keep that in mind, that there always will exist enemies of Islam. This is the nature of the world. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is part of the test of life, because Allah has put us here to test us. Another interesting lesson we can take from the life of Abu Jahl is the importance of not blindly following your fathers and of being an individual thinker. Because Abu Jahl's son, Ikrimah, would later go on to accept Islam and to die a martyr in the Battle of Yarmouk. Ikrimah, the son of the greatest enemy of Islam, Abu Jahl, would go on to die a martyr fighting for the sake of Allah in the Battle of Yarmouk against the Roman Empire. So, number one, we cannot judge people by their fathers. The statement, like father, like son, is not always true in Islam, because the son can be very different from his father if he chooses not to blindly follow. And we do not just accept something as truth because it comes from our parents. We have to weigh things in light of revelation. So these are some of the lessons we can take from the life of Abu Jahl. Now let's go into the exact verses that were revealed on this occasion where he insulted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We already did tafsir of three of these verses. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَدْغَى أَرْرَآءُ اسْتَغْنَى إِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رُجْعَى. That definitely mankind has transgressed the limit, because he thinks he's independent, but to Allah is his return. So these verses, which we discussed in details last week, we're talking about Abu Jahl. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into more details and he says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى أَبَدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. Have you seen the one who stops his slave from worshipping or from praying? Have you seen the one who stops the slave from praying? Who is this talking about? The one who stops the person from praying is Abu Jahl. And the abd, the worship of Allah who is trying to pray, is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember the context in which the surah was revealed. So did you see Abu Jahl, the one who stopped Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from praying? أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَىٰ أَوْ أَمَرَ بِالتَّقْوَىٰ. Now, some of the scholars say this is referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others say it's referring to Abu Jahl. We'll go with the interpretation that it's referring to Abu Jahl, because that's first seen with the rest of the surah. That, have you seen whether he is guided or whether he calls people to righteousness? Allah is asking us a question. Look at Abu Jahl. He's stopping a man from worshipping God. Why would you want to follow someone like that? He's not calling you towards righteousness or guidance. أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. Have you seen whether he rejects the truth and turns away? Again, why would you want to follow someone like this? أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Doesn't he know that Allah is watching him? كَلَّا لَإِلَّمْ يَنْتَهِي لَنَسْفَعَمْ بِالنَّاسِيَةِ. No, If he doesn't stop, we will grab him by his forelocks. Nathiyatin kadhibatin khatiya. He's lying, sinful forelock. Faliyad unadiya. So let him call his friends. Let him call his helpers. Sanad uzzabaniya. We will call the guardians of hell for them. So do not obey him, but prostrate and worship Allah. So this is a very, very powerful surah. And these verses were revealed very explicitly about Abu Jahl and the punishment he will face in the afterlife. Very similar to what was revealed about Abu Lahab in Surah Al-Masad. So Surah Al-Masad was revealed about Abu Lahab and the punishment he would face. Surah Alaq was revealed about Abu Jahl and the punishment that he would face. Likewise, Surah Muddassir speaks about Walid ibn Mughira, the father of Khalid ibn Walid, and the punishment that he will face. So all the leaders of the disbelievers who were the primary enemies of Islam in the Makkah period, specific verses were revealed about the punishment that they will have to face in the afterlife. And these end up being predictions that they will not change and they will die upon disbelief. And this is exactly what ends up happening. So now let's look at these verses in a bit more details. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Abu Jahl. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. Have you seen the one who stops the servant from worshipping, from praying? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out one of the main evil qualities of Abu Jahl. Why did he want to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the Kaaba? What was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing at the Kaaba? He was worshipping Allah. He was praying salah. So he wanted to harm him for no other reason except that he was worshipping his creator. We were created for the purpose of worshipping Allah. So if someone is trying to stop people from worshipping Allah, this is amongst the greatest evils that a person can do. Now, as Muslims, we need to think about this in our own lives. Are we responsible for stopping other Muslims from worshipping Allah? Do we give our workers time off for salah? Do we take our sons and daughters for salah 5 times a day? Are we from those parents who tell our children not to go for fajr because they're too young, or because they got exams in the morning, or because they're gonna end up becoming extremists? If we do these things, then what's the difference between us and Abu Jahl, who stopped Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from praying salah? Are we not following in the footsteps of the worst of mankind? If you are someone who stops your children from praying salah, or stops your workers from praying salah, then this verse is talking about you as well. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. Have you seen the one who stops the worshippers from praying? It's talking about you as well if you fall into this category. It's putting such people in the same category as Abu Jahl. So we need to be careful. Human beings were created to worship Allah. And we as Muslims should understand this better than anybody else. We should understand this better than anybody else. So, how can a Muslim stop another Muslim from worshipping Allah? How can a Muslim stop another Muslim from obeying the Creator? This is something that we need to think very seriously about. He then goes on to state, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَىٰ أَوْ أَمَرَ بِالتَّقْوَىٰ. أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَىٰ. Have you seen whether he is rightly guided, or whether he is calling towards righteousness? Abu Jahl and all the people who obeyed him and followed him, Allah is asking him a question. That what is he calling you towards? Is he calling you towards guidance? Is he calling you towards righteousness? Is he calling you towards obeying your Creator? Or is he calling you towards evil? Is he calling you towards torture? Is he calling you towards murder? Why would you want to obey someone like that? And so this again becomes a lesson for us. That when someone is in a leadership position in our lives, we don't just follow them. We don't just follow someone because they were automatically put into a leadership position. Rather, we need to look at what are they calling us towards. Is it good or is it evil? This is the question that we need to look at. Are we being called towards obeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or are we being called towards disobeying Allah? We cannot obey anybody in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'at lil makhluq fima asiyatil khaliq. There is no obedience to the creation if it leads to disobedience of the creator. It doesn't matter if it's our own parents or our spouse or our boss. It doesn't matter. If someone tells you to disobey Allah, we are not allowed to listen to such an individual. This is something which is prohibited. So this is a lesson that we can take from this verse. That we, whenever someone calls us towards something, we look at it. We analyze it in light of Quran and Sunnah. That is this the right thing to do? Is this the right thing that I'm being called towards? Or is this misguidance? This is the question that we need to look at and think about. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us a third question. Ara'ita in kadhaba wa tawalla. Have you seen whether he rejects the truth and turns away? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now highlighting for us the conditions or the signs of arrogance. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in an authentic hadith that nobody will enter, that nobody who has an atom's worth of arrogance will enter paradise. So the Sahaba, wanting to know what's meant by arrogance, asked him that we like to wear nice clothes and, you know, look nice. He said, that's not what I'm referring to. Arrogance is when you look down upon people and reject the truth. So two qualities were highlighted by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as qualities of arrogance. Number one, looking down upon people. Number two, rejecting the truth. And these are the two qualities highlighted of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl looked down upon Abdullah ibn Mas'ud for being a shepherd. He looked down upon Sumayyah and her family for being freed slaves. He looked down upon Bilal for being a slave. He looked down upon the people of truth and righteousness because of their social standings. And this is arrogance, and this is what leads to the hellfire. So we need again to ask ourselves the question, do we have the qualities of Abu Jahl or the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit with anyone who believed in Allah and treat them as his equal. He would sit with anybody who believed in Allah and treat him as his equal. He did not worry about their social standing. He did not worry about whether they were slaves or whether they were poor people or whether they were from other races or other tribes. This didn't matter. The only thing that mattered to Rasulullah is that this is a person of taqwa. This is a Muslim. This is a believer. And therefore, we need to be friends. We need to be good to such people. We need to be good to humanity. Abu Jahl had the opposite. Abu Jahl, he would only associate with the rich and the powerful and the famous. Unfortunately today, amongst the Muslims, there are many of us who choose only to associate with the rich and the powerful. So to any Muslim out there who does this, ask yourself the question, are you following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or are you following the sunnah of Abu Jahl? This is the question that needs to be asked. So in this verse, we have a very powerful description of some of the biggest evils that Abu Jahl was involved with, rejecting the truth. And indeed, Abu Jahl knew it was the truth. How do you know that Abu Jahl knew it was the truth? Well, just look at that narration. Abu Jahl told his companions that when he went to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw a fire and horror and wings. He saw an angel. He saw an angel guarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah had shown him the signs. This was the clearest possible evidence that any human being could receive that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a true messenger of God. Abu Jahl, with his own eyes, saw an angel guarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But still, he did not believe. Why? This is arrogance. Arrogance, not wanting to admit that he was wrong and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was right. How many of us reject the truth because of arrogance? Because we feel that we don't want to admit we are wrong. We don't want to put anybody above us. We don't want to lower ourselves. We're following in the footsteps of Abu Jahl if we do so. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to show everybody the signs of what is the true religion, and then leaves it for the individual to decide for themselves and face the consequences of their decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised in Surah Fussilat, verse number 53, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. We will show them the signs in the universe. Everywhere in the universe, they will see the signs of Allah. وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, even inside their own selves, inside their own souls, they will see the signs of Allah, they will feel the signs of Allah, they will be given indications. Until it is clear, hatta tabayyana, until it is clear to them that this is the truth. So Allah has promised to show us all the signs of what is the truth. It then becomes the individual's duty to accept the truth. Unfortunately, many people reject the truth either because of arrogance or blind following to their forefathers or because it goes against their desires. Each of these are not worthy excuses on the Day of Judgment. So as believers, we need to be humble. We need to be from those who submit entirely to our Creator. And to be from those who accept the truth. Whoever it comes from, wherever it comes from, even if your own child corrects you, what your child is saying is the truth and right, accept it. Don't reject it just because it's coming from a child. Accept the truth wherever it comes from. This is the sign of humility. This is the sign of a believer. This is the sign of an individual who wants to improve their life and gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's not be like Abu Jahl. Let's live lives which are opposite to his lives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to ask another question, a fourth question now. And this time the question is different. This time Allah is asking a question about Abu Jahl. And by extension, anybody else who follows his lifestyle, who follows his way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks such people, people who stop others from praying or don't pray themselves, people who are arrogant, people who reject the truth, people who call people away from righteousness and guidance. Even if you are a Muslim and you are doing these things, you are following the footsteps of Abu Jahl. To such a person, Allah asks a very important question. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara? Doesn't he know that Allah is watching him? Think about this. Whatever evil we might have in our lives, alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara? Doesn't he know that Allah is watching? Whatever we are doing, whatever we are thinking, whatever we are saying, Allah knows it. Allah knows everything. So how then can we live lives which are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we know this? How can we live lives in which we call people away from Allah? Muslims, calling other Muslims away from obeying Allah, telling them, don't wear the hijab, don't grow your beards, don't pray in the masjid 5 times a day, you'll be called an extremist. How can you do this? How can you say things like this if you know that Allah is watching you? And that you'll be answerable for everything you said on the Day of Judgment. So as believers, we need to remember the words and the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakul khair aw yasmut. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, meaning that you know that Allah sees you and he's going to judge you on the last day, if you believe in this, falyakul khair, only speak that which is good. Aw yasmut, or keep quiet. This should be the attitude of the believer, that we don't talk unnecessary things. We don't talk lahu, things which are a waste of time. And we especially don't talk about things which are evil and things which are sinful. We either speak what is right or we remain silent. Silence is better than evil speech, and good speech is what is best for all of us. So this should be our motto in life, that we'll speak good or remain silent. If we do this, we will save ourselves a lot of harm. Because you never know what statement you might say against Allah or against his messenger or against his religion, which could seal your fate, which could bring down the anger of Allah upon you. Be careful when talking about Allah and his religion. This is the true religion of God. This is not just something we are born into. This is not just some culture. This is the religion which Allah had revealed to the final prophet. So how can a believer, how can a Muslim make a mockery of any aspect of this religion? So be careful. Be careful what we say, because Allah is watching. And whenever you want to say or do something evil or stop people from righteousness, remember the words of Allah in Surah Alaq. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Doesn't he know that Allah is watching? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to give one last warning to Abu Jahl. A warning about what he's going to do to him in the afterlife. And this warning is, Kalla, la illam yantahi, la nasfa'an bin nasiyah. Kalla, no. La illam yantahi, if he doesn't stop, Allah is giving a last warning, if he doesn't stop, if Abu Jahl doesn't stop doing evil, if Abu Jahl doesn't stop calling people away from Allah, if Abu Jahl does not stop oppressing the Muslims, so we will grab him by his forelocks. We will grab him by his forelocks. And nasfa ambin nasya, we'll grab him by his forelocks, by his hair. We'll grab him by his hair. And throw him in the hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now giving a very descriptive punishment of what awaits Abu Jahl in the afterlife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a grave warning. He's warning anybody, not just Abu Jahl, anybody who calls people away from Allah and who calls people away from the worship of Allah. He warns them to stop this evil practice. Because if they do not do so, he will grab them by their hair and throw them in the hellfire. This is the price that all those who fight against Islam and who try to stop the da'wah and try to stop people from worshipping their creator, this is the price that they all will have to pay in the afterlife. In this life, the disbelievers sometimes have the upper hand. Those who try to harm the Muslims have the upper hand. And we wonder, isn't there any justice going to take place? Well, that's what the Day of Judgment is for. It's going to be the Day of Justice. Anybody who you think got away with evil in this world will not get away with it on the Day of Judgment. On that day, they will be answerable and they will pay for all of their crimes, all the harm which they caused to the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives two more adjectives to describe Abu Jahl. And he does it in a metaphorical sense, describing his forelock. But in reality, it's a description of him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nasiyatin kadhibatin khati'ah. Nasiyatin kadhibatin khati'ah. Describing Abu Jahl as a lying, sinful forelock. Now, forelock over here is majaz. It is a metaphor referring to Abu Jahl himself. Right, it's talking about his head, but it is referring to him as a whole. That Abu Jahl, as well as anyone else who harms the believers and tortures and does evil, any such person is kadhiba and khatiya. They are generally people who are liars and sinful. So these are two qualities, again, being highlighted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as qualities of evildoers. Lying and being sinful. So, in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted many of the qualities of Abu Jahl which we need to make sure that we do not have in our lives. Now, what is kadhiba? Kadhiba refers to lies. And lies are of different types. The worst lie is to lie about Allah. Whether it's attributing a son to God or saying that God gave you authority to do something that you don't, or making something haram which Allah has left halal, changing the religion. These are lies against God. And this is the worst type of lie. So any lie which affects the religion or which affects our relationship with our Creator is the worst type of lie. And this is the type which Abu Jahl and them were, of course, all responsible for, in that they had said that they had to worship the idols as intermediaries between them and God, which they had no authority to say. Likewise, we find that lies have always been a part of those who call towards evil. Because you cannot call people towards evil by only speaking the truth. Because the truth in general leads to righteousness. So naturally, if you want to call someone away from the truth, if you want to call someone towards evil, then you're going to have to resort to lies. So Allah uses the word kadhiba, a liar, to describe Abu Jahl and anybody else who follows in his footsteps. Because this is a natural quality which you will find in anybody who's calling people away from Allah, who's calling people towards evil. They are liars in general. And of course, they are khatia, they are sinners. Because someone who is righteous is not going to do things like this. It's only people who are sinful and who love sin and who have no intention to give up their sin. These are the only type of people who will ever embark upon such a journey to call people away from Allah. Anyone who has an atom worth of faith in their heart will never think of doing the things which Abu Jahl did. These are the deeds of the worst of the worst. A person like Abu Jahl, let's go through again the qualities with which Allah has described him. Kadhiba, liar. Khati'a, sinful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, Alam ya'alam bi anna Allaha yara. Doesn't he know that Allah watches him, that Allah can see him? Doesn't he know this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him as someone who rejects the truth. Somebody who rejects the truth. He described him as someone who turns away from righteousness. He described him as someone who calls people away from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who calls people away from taqwa, from doing good deeds. And he described him as a person who stops people from praying. Now, if we look at all of these descriptions, although it's describing the worst of the disbelievers, Abu Jahl, unfortunately, many of these qualities can be found in Muslims today. Many of these qualities can be found in Muslims today. I mean, look around us and see. You will find how many of us stop other people from praying. How many Muslims today call other Muslims away from righteousness, telling them not to obey Allah. How often do we see this? How many times do we reject the truth because it doesn't agree with what we were raised upon or because it doesn't agree with our desires? How many times do we show arrogance, either in how we walk or how we talk or what we say, or just in rejecting the truth and how we look down upon people? How many times and how often do we live such lives as if we don't believe that Allah can see us? I mean, we may say it, but do our lives reflect it? How often do we lie? SubhanAllah, lies have become so common in the ummah that people find it hard to believe anyone anymore. If someone doesn't lie, people don't want to believe him because lies have become such a common part of us. But lies are mentioned here as a description of Abu Jahl. So if we are people who live lives of lies, then what's the difference between us and Abu Jahl? And khatiyah, sinful. People who love to sin. People who are not worried about pleasing the Creator. You see, you get two types of sinners. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that kullu bani Adam khata. Every son of Adam, every child of Adam commits mistakes, makes sins. So you get two types of sinners. Allah says that Rasulullah continued to say, but the best of those who commit sins are those who repent. So you get those people who are trying to be good. They are sincere. They love their Creator. They're trying to obey their Creator. They're trying to be good people. But they make mistakes. They sin like everybody else. When they do that, they make istighfar, they make tawbah, they try again to be a good Muslim. These are the ones who Allah loves and Allah will show mercy to. Then you get those who live lives of sin with no intention of ever changing, with no regret in their hearts for the evil that they do. And they themselves try to stop others from doing good deeds. This is a completely different type of person. This is the type of person that these verses are referring to. We need to look into our own lives. Which category do we fall into? May Allah make us from those who repent and come closer to Him. So we still have in the surah three more verses to look at. Inshallah, next week we'll look at the last three verses of Surah Alaq. And then inshallah we'll do the tafsir of Surah Laylatul Qadr as well. So we look at those surahs next week, inshallah. And the last three surahs continue, the last three verses continue with the description of the punishment of Abu Jahl and, you know, how to deal with people like him. So we don't want to rush it in the next 4 minutes. We will go into details next week, inshallah. So with that, we've come to a conclusion of another episode. And we ask Allah to help us all to obey him and to be the opposite of Abu Jahl, to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every aspect of our lives. Let us not listen to the tafsir every week without it affecting our lives and our hearts. Let us be from amongst those who live the Quran. The Quran is not just that which we read, but it's that which we understand and which we live by. So whatever we have learned today, let us take these verses and make it part of our life to obey Allah and to do the opposite of whatever Abu Jahl was described as doing. We will conclude with this tafsir next week. I will see you then. Jazakallah khairan wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.